All right, at this time, there was a video that I wanted to show last week, but last week our internet was down and we were just having all kinds of technical difficulties. Susie was sick. And so we didn't get a chance to play the video that had to do with last week, which for those of you who weren't here last week, had all of the seats rearranged. All the comfy seats were in the front. So if you wanted a comfy seat, you actually had to sit in the front row, which was a little bit different. I noticed that we're kind of back to our old selves and nobody's sitting in the front row. That's okay. I don't judge you. It's all right. All of last week was about talking about how this idea of inclusions and giving the best seats to the lowest people, because that's how Jesus acted. And so this video is going to kind of sum up last week, and then I'll talk about this week.
Inclusion. In the 1800s, renting pews was a thing in the Methodist Church. Those with money and social status rented the most expensive pews, and those with little money and little status rented the least expensive pews. B.T. Roberts and other leaders in the Methodist Episcopal Church saw that this was disfranchising the poor, who could not afford to rent the seats. They wanted free seats for everyone, regardless of socioeconomic status. When they founded the Free Methodist Church, pew rentals were abolished. Like John Wesley, founder of the Methodist movement, B.T. Roberts also focused on serving the poor and the vulnerable and encouraged Free Methodist churches to do the same. Today, we continue to serve and advocate for the vulnerable, oppressed, marginalized, and people of all ethnicities in our communities. Free Methodists today still want to introduce people to Jesus, change the world one person at a time, and alleviate suffering. We are still free.
Actually reminded me that I'll remind you that every first and third Sunday of every month, we've decided to do an extra collection. And if you were here last week, you would have seen the kids that we get these little tin cans and they go around and collect the money and you can hear the dropping of the coins in. And it's always fun for the kids to participate in that. But the first week is for our sponsored children who we sponsor in Haiti, two girls who we sponsor in Haiti. And so even last week, if you weren't here, we had the girls up on the screen. Next week is where we will collect money for our benevolence fund. And it's good to remind you that our benevolence fund is to help those people in our community. So sometimes people come to us and they say, hey, we're having a hard time paying our hydro bills, or we're having a hard time paying our oil and heating bills, or we can't make rent this month. So you can imagine that as a church, we'd love to be able to help people when they're going through those hard times. And so on the third Sunday of every month, we've been using that to prop up our benevolent fund for the year so that we have that money, a little bit extra money for those things that are aside from our regular budget. If you're someone who wants to give to the regular budget, there's a box in the back there that you could put your tithes and offerings into that box. So that's just how things work on the first and the third Sunday of the month. Now, back to the sermon series. I've been preaching through this, what it means to be a Free Methodist. Now, if you've looked up our church before you came here, and I know some of you have been coming here for years, but even if you've been coming here for years, maybe you were like, hey, I heard this was North Grenville Community Church. Some of you might have come here back when it was Kempville Free Methodist Church. But somewhere in down the road, I know Pastor Dan was the pastor here when there was a transition that was made where people were like, a lot of people don't know what Free Methodism is. And so we're going to call our church North Grenville Community Church because community really is what we're about. And even when I started preaching this series, the idea of being a Methodist is all about community. The method is coming together into community. That's what the tradition of the Free Methodist Church is. So that was one of the first sermons I preached in the series. Also preached on what it means to be free according to the scriptures. But then we've seen all of these themes of freedom come up. And there was five main freedoms, and I've preached through two of them so far. Does anyone remember what they were? The first two frees. Come on, people, you gotta pay attention. Last week was inclusion, about not having to pay for your seat. Someone was paying attention at least last week. Who was the first week? Do you remember? Freedom from slavery. There we go. We got them. Thank you for listening. Now, if Amy Beth answered them, because she's lifetime Free Methodist, been raised in the church, you guys would get in trouble because she wasn't even here the past few weeks. She was downstairs with the kids. So it'd be pretty bad if the pastor's wife gave the answers and wasn't even here. But thank you for those who answered that. So first free was freedom from slavery. And last week we talked about not having to pay for your seats. Today's sermon is the third free, which is the freedom of the spirit. See, what was happening in the church back when the Free Methodist Church moved away from the Methodist Church was the Methodist Church had become very liturgical. What that means is that they would have their book, which had their prayer, Book of Common Prayer, might be a book you've heard of where churches like the Anglican Church still read from these books, but there was such a structure, there was no moving of the Spirit, but some people believed that the Bible, which teaches about how the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost came and gave gifts such as speaking in tongues, hearing words of prophecy, laying hands on the sick and seeing healings, worshiping with a little bit more vibrancy, where the pastor or the worship leaders don't just say, sit, stand, sit, stand, sit, stand, but you can feel free, again, Free Methodist, free to lift your hands in worship, to come to the front and kneel without being told to kneel. You can do as you feel free in the Free Methodist Church. In my first church, some of the men took it so... They took it to heart that they would lay down in the church because they had bad backs. They're like, Pastor, is it okay? I just can't sit in these hard pews that we had pews or these hard chairs. And my back hurts so much. Can I just lay down? Well, we're Free Methodist. I'm okay with you laying down. Actually, in the early Free Methodist churches, now get this, and still happens in some churches today, when the Spirit would move, people would lay down. They would be slain in the spirit. They would lay down in the presence of God, believing that God had touched them. And under the power of God, they spent time in worship on the ground. So we, as a Free Methodist Church, believe that God's Spirit can move in all kinds of different ways. That's even, as your pastor, I believe God can speak to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why even in my pastoral prayer, I'll give moments of silence. And I know sometimes in our culture, silence is awkward, right? Like we don't, Remembrance Day is like the one time of the year where we take a few moments of silence, or if someone passes away, take a few moments of silence. But we need to quiet ourselves to allow the Holy Spirit to speak. So as Free Methodists, we believe the Spirit moves and the Spirit speaks. I'm going to show you the next video from the Free Methodist Church, which talks about
innovation. Free Methodists wanted a freedom of spirit in their worship services. The spirit referred to here is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to pursue all that is good. Most importantly, Jesus. Early Free Methodists weren't about the status quo or keeping things as they had always been. They moved away from strict formality and encouraged spirit-led freedom in their services. Today, Free Methodists are always discerning where God is moving, and our identity is shaped in the values that are both historical and aspirational. There is no one-size-fits-all in what worship or church looks like. Free Methodists welcome a wide variety of worship and church ideas in whatever shape, size, and creative expression God is revealing. Free Methodists today still want to introduce people to Jesus, change the world one person at a time, and alleviate suffering. We are still free.
That was a real short one, but I think it's appropriate to be real short if we're going to believe that God, through the Spirit, allows this idea of innovation, that He can speak to us, that things can happen at any moment. And I mean, that kind of makes some of you maybe a little bit nervous that something could happen in a church service that is out of the norm. It makes me nervous sometimes. I remember the first time I preached on Acts chapter 2. Anybody know what happens in Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus has ascended into heaven in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 2, the apostle Peter gets up in front of those who believe, and he preaches, and the Holy Spirit shows up in a mighty wind and tongues of fire, and they speak in tongues. The first time I preached that, I couldn't preach for a few moments, and I started babbling a little bit and speaking in tongues, and it was very different in terms of a worship service. But everybody afterwards believed that God was moving in that moment. And I believed that God was touching me in that moment as I was preaching. I got up, I preached about the day of Pentecost that time, but it does make us a little uncomfortable and nervous when God shows up and we can't really always understand or explain. We as human beings, we like structure. We like when things are kind of neat and tidy and there's not too much chaos. Am I right? If a pastor started freaking out and doing something he's never done before, you might say, oh, that was strange. That was weird. That was uncomfortable. And if you're new, you'd be like, I don't know if I want to go back to that church. But there's something about the unpredictable. There's something about the Holy Spirit and this idea of him being spontaneous that gives me a lot of comfort because God is not in a box. If we could put God in a box, is he really God? Right? Maybe if we have put God in a box and we think he needs to perform for us in a certain way, maybe we're actually not worshiping the true God of the universe who created everything. And anytime that I see in creation something new I've never seen before, like an animal or a different breed of species, I'm amazed at God's ability to create and the beauty that's out there. I mean, just look at an animal like a platypus that's only found in Australia, by the way. You're like, God, you made that? That's so strange and weird and different. And then we go to church and we want things to be the same. So today, when I'm talking about what it means to be Free Methodist, we as Free Methodists are open to the idea that we can be different. That different things can happen. Now you say, Pastor, where's that in the scripture? Let's open our Bibles if you want or read on the screen. Follow with me. John chapter 3. Verse 5-8. Now, Jesus is talking to a man named Nicodemus, and a famous verse that we all quote, John 3:16, is about to be said by Jesus. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Famous verse, John 3:16. But right before that, Jesus is actually telling Nicodemus what it means to have the Spirit. And verse 5, John chapter 3, verse 5 says, Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. So we all talk about water baptism, like, okay, come be baptized to decide to follow Jesus. But Jesus pairs that with being born in the Spirit, having a spiritual rebirth. Often evangelicals will say, are you born again? You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. Verse 8, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Here's the reality, church. We don't know what's going to happen with our lives. And what Jesus is saying, that we as people of the Spirit should be comfortable with spontaneity. That God could change your life just like that. It could happen in a worship service. It might not happen in a worship service. It could happen when you go to bed and you put your head at night. I've heard many stories where people will go to church, have a typical worship service and where they're worshiping God, they're singing praises, they hear the pastor preach a sermon, nothing's changed. But then a hunger starts to build. They go home, they go to sleep, and they have a supernatural dream. I've had an experience like this before where I was had a supernatural moment in my bed and I felt the power of God go through my body and I was almost like shaking in the bed. And I'm sure Amy Beth, we were married at the time, and she would say, like, what is going on with you? And I think I told her, like, God is speaking to me right now. And I remember the message vividly because he told me to go and forgive a friend from my childhood and to go and ask for forgiveness. But in that moment, it wasn't a church service. I wasn't even reading my Bible. I was in bed, laying in my bed, trying to get some sleep, and the Holy Spirit came. Church, I think sometimes our idea of where God can work or how God can work, we have to take these verses where Jesus says, it's like the wind. You don't know where it's coming or where it's going or what it can even do in our lives. And allow this idea that maybe our own ideas are too small for God, that he has even bigger ideas. That's why the Free Methodist Church labeled this free innovation, right? That idea that God can give us an idea or can tell us something or can do something in our lives we could never do in our own power. John chapter 16 tells us more about what the Spirit of God does in our lives. John chapter 16, verse 12 to 15 says, I have much more to say to you. This is Jesus talking. More than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me and will make what he will make known to you. So this is the idea of that God will give you, he calls him the Spirit of truth, God will give you what you need to know. And sometimes it's even about the future, where God will give you a message or give you a word of encouragement that you're like, well, I'm very unsure about this, and God will give you a promise, whether it be from his word. Sometimes it's through another believer, and sometimes it's directly to your heart, and you're like, wow, I feel God telling me this is going to be happening. Now, I think when you hear a message from God like that, in your heart, in your spirit, you have to be very careful. One, you have to weigh it against God's word. I mean, sometimes I even saw Amy Beth subscribe, well, she doesn't subscribe, but across her social media feed, there's a guy who makes social media about the holy nope, where he goes into a church and someone will preach something that's a little bit outlandish. In other words, it's not according to the scripture. And the guy's, he's not really in church, but he's watching the church of the clip of being in church, and he pretends he's in church, and he closes his Bible and he walks out the door, because it's so outlandish what is being preached from the, it's a little bit of a comedy thing where some of the things that are being said are ridiculous, and maybe we shouldn't buy that that's really from God. I watched one this week where the guy got up in front of the church, and he's a young man, maybe in his 20s, and he says, my wife is here. God has told me my wife is here. And I don't know how that worked out for him, if he walked out the back with a woman in arms or not, but I would recommend not doing that in the scriptures. I never see any of that happening in the scriptures, and so I don't think that's necessarily the intentions that God is going for when he talks about the spirit of prophecy. Now, can God encourage someone about their future that maybe they will find a spouse? I'd be open to that. But I wouldn't narrow God to say he must perform in a certain way because they believe they've heard a certain thing. It's very tricky. And what needs to happen is we need to have each other discerning together in community, and we need to value the scriptures which point us in the right direction. See, we can all be open to prophecy and the Holy Spirit moving, but if we're open to everything, it kind of allows the enemy to come in and to misguide us and to take us into the wrong direction. And so we have to do it in community, and we have to do it with the Word of God. But we believe that the Holy Spirit can come and to point us in the right direction and to give us truth. One thing that the Holy Spirit does, when the Holy Spirit shows up, there is a sense of freedom rather than a sense of restriction. Some people would say, I don't want to go to church because if I go to church, there's just a bunch of set of rules. There's a bunch of rules, and I just don't want to follow those rules. I don't want to be restricted in how I live. And in reality, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to 18 says this. It says, "But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory and are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Now, next week, I'm going to talk about what it means to be free from sin. That is one of the five frees. Next week will be freedom from sin. And this is kind of what the scripture is alluding to, is that when we have access to the Spirit, it's less of being restricted from something and more being free from those things that pull us in. See, when people who don't know Jesus, this is what Paul is telling the Corinthians church, when people don't know Jesus, it's like they have a veil over their face. In other words, they can't really see what's going on around them. But when we come to know Jesus, when we put our faith in Jesus, when we make that step of obedience, the Holy Spirit comes and he opens up our eyes. And our perspectives change, that we want to be more like Jesus. And so rather than seeing freedom as an opportunity to sin, that's what people say, I don't want a bunch of rules, right? They think that freedom means that I can do whatever I want. And in reality, when you give your heart to Jesus, when the Holy Spirit comes in, your whole life transforms and you start to see, actually, that's bondage. That's slavery, when I feel like I want to do things that aren't actually beneficial to my life. When I want to do things that will actually hurt me, and I'll call it freedom because I want to do the things I know I shouldn't do. When what the Bible says is, when this veil comes off, the real freedom that we have when the Spirit comes into our life is that now those things that would entice me don't entice me anymore. That's not to say we're never tempted, but I don't want those things the same way I used to want them. They might have a little bit of allure to them, but my drive in life isn't to give in to maybe a promiscuous sexual lifestyle, drugs and alcohol. My desire isn't just to get rich in life. My desires become, according to this scripture right here, that we are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, that my desire is, just like what our slogan is at the back of our church motto is to live and love like Jesus. Our desire becomes to want to be like Jesus. And that's what true freedom is. And so when people ask, you're part of the North Granville Community Church, what kind of church is that? We're a Free Methodist church. What does it mean to be Free Methodist? Well, we believe that God sets us free, that we don't want to do the things that displease God. We are free to pursue Jesus and to be more like Jesus. Now, listen, I know I'm the pastor of this church, but to me, that sounds pretty good. That's the kind of church I want to build and I want to be a part of, where we are free to pursue Jesus, free to be more like Jesus. And it's not me lording it over you and saying, hey, have you been more like Jesus this week? It's, hey, let's pursue Jesus together. 1 John chapter 2, verse 26 to 27. It's interesting that I just said, it's not like me telling you what to do. Like, I'm the preacher, right? Like, essentially, that's part of my job, is to preach to you a message. And you're like, well, isn't that what you do, pastor, to tell us what to do? Well, actually, when the Spirit comes, this is what John writes to the church. He says, I'm writing these things to you who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. but as to his anointing, teacher teaches you about all things. And as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Now, this anointing is of the Holy Spirit. So when you hear that word anointing in the scripture, you can have an understanding that the Holy Spirit comes into the church and he leads and guides us into truth. He's the one who helps us. So it's not the knowledge of Pastor Thomas. I'm not your guru. I'm not the one who makes sure you guys are all on the straight and narrow and making sure that you're being obedient to Jesus because I say so. No, God uses me to encourage you, to equip you, but ultimately it is the Holy Spirit who even uses my words that works in your life that keeps you from being led astray, that you would desire to follow Jesus. That is the anointing. That's why John says, you don't really need someone to watch over you at all times. Like, your pastor's not calling you up midweek and saying, hey, are you making sure you're reading your Bible this week? I mean, if you asked me to, maybe I'd hold you accountable if you really like felt like you wanted someone there to make sure you're reading. But ultimately, why do you want to read your Bible? Because the anointing, which is the Holy Spirit, comes into your life, frees you up so that you prioritize reading your Bible. Not a burden where your pastor holds your hand, but because you are free to follow Jesus, you have this desire by the Holy Spirit to do the things you know are good for you. Read your Bible and pray. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be generous with your time and your finances and your energy. Those are things that when the Holy Spirit comes in your life, changes you to give you those desires. It's not that I, as your pastor, need to do that. It's the Holy Spirit within you. John chapter 4. Jesus is at the well with the Samaritan woman. And he says something interesting to her. When she asks about worship, Jesus says this. John chapter 4, verse 23, he says, yet a time is coming and now has come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. So if you remember this story, the Samaritan woman, after having this amazing encounter with God, where Jesus reveals to her what kind of trouble she's gotten into her life without really knowing her, I mean, meeting her for just the first time, Jesus reveals the issues and concerns of her hearts. And she's amazed. And so she's like, wow, you must be really the Son of God like you claim to be. And she says, well, where are we supposed to worship? Because the Jews say the temple, and I'm a Samaritan, and we don't have access to the temple. Where should we worship? And Jesus says, you are to worship in spirit and in truth. Which means we don't have to go to a given location to worship God. Now, we gather here, and the New Testament encourages us to continually gather together. So the church isn't this building, but it's the gathering of us together that makes the worship service. And so us just being in this building doesn't mean we're worshiping, right? What means we're worshiping is that we're worshiping in spirit and in truth. And what that means is the Holy Spirit can come and enable us to do these things. Prayer. Singing songs and hymns, reading the scriptures. Actually, when Paul's instructing the New Testament, the New Testament church, he doesn't just say, hey, the pastor must equip a certain, like a three-point sermon. And he doesn't say, oh, the pastor must do this or do that. The worship leaders must, you know, sing four songs and then move on and dismiss the children. Like, there's no instruction like that. Actually, Apostle Paul is instructing the church about worship, he says, each of you should bring a song, a hymn, a word of encouragement, a word of prophecy. Each of you. So this idea of putting God in a box, some of you are afraid to make suggestions to Roslyn, the worship leader, or to Pastor Thomas about what I should preach or what we should pray about. In essence, the church really should be a place where we're open to however God wants to move. Now, we practice this from time to time, but I want us to increasingly practice this. And so I thought, how am I going to end today's sermon? We've talked about spontaneity, how the Spirit brings spontaneity. We talked about how the Spirit leads and guides us in truth and how we're free from restrictions and how you don't need me to lead and guide you as a teacher and how we have freedom in worship. So how do we practice this? Well, sometimes we pass the mic in church. And some churches are afraid to pass the mic because someone might say something that's a little awkward or a little strange. And we've been doing it here. I mean, you guys know last week I told you, we've been here 8 years now. We started the first week of February, so we know it's 8 years. And yeah, I know Brandon's looking at me like, well, that long? Yeah, it's been that long. And over the 8 years, we will pass the mic. And there's never been a moment, well, there's always the occasional, you clench and you wonder what's going to happen. But it doesn't happen frequently enough that I'm afraid to do it. So I believe that after preaching this sermon about the freedom of worship and the freedom of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit might be leading us to share something that's on our hearts. Now, I know I haven't prepped you for this. So what I'm going to suggest is I'm going to pray, invite the Holy Spirit, and if there's anything on your hearts to either pray for or to encourage the church or to share a testimony or you feel like tongues is coming out of you, we're going to pass you the mic and we're going to believe that God is going to speak through the power of the Holy Spirit to his church, not just through the pastor, but because we're Free Methodists, we're going to open it up and we're going to allow the freedom of the Spirit. You guys agree with that? No one's protesting? Awesome. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I think it's easy to say we are free, but sometimes it's hard to know how we can use our freedoms. And when we say we're free to worship in any kind of different ways, sometimes we'll say, oh, but I don't know about that way. I don't know if I feel comfortable about that. But Lord, we want to invite you to move past our fears, our insecurities, our comfort levels, and we invite you to speak to us. And if there's anything that you laid on our heart, give us the courage, give us the boldness to be able to share that so that we can leave here encouraged. So we pray even in this moment, and we'll take a moment of silence just to listen. Holy Spirit, speak.